This is Unserious. For many, a mother is the original mentor and manager in the job of life. The foundational lessons we learn in those early days at home quietly leave an imprint on our professional behaviors and relationships. The management of motherhood is hard enough, and moms who also work outside the home rarely get the rest they need or deserve. Happy Mother's Day. We're going to do something a little different today and celebrate the moms out there. I'm JB Skelton. Molly McMahon is off this week. Our guest today is Laura Krafka, an operations powerhouse across industries from huge salon brands to the nonprofit world. She's also the author of the book, The Human Side of Motherhood. Laura's passion is to push people and teams to find their purpose and live it to its fullest potential. She is a leader of leaders and a fierce advocate for others to find their greatness and their purpose. Welcome, Laura.
Aw, thanks. That was a great introduction.
Thanks for being here today. I think from the title of this podcast, you kind of get the gist of our approach to life. Mm-hmm. We don't really take ourselves too seriously. Mm-mm. What role does levity play in managing parenthood?
I think even saying managing and parenthood together is that's the levity of the whole. The fact that anybody thinks they can manage parenthood is probably it. One, life happens all the time, every day, right? Life mm-hmm. is happening. You're never ready for what's coming, even if you planned for it, thought you have it ready. And so you have to find humor, you know, in the crazy things your kids do. I mean, I have children that the things I now say to my children, I never thought I would say to my kids. Like, don't pee on your brother. Like, you can't take the car. You can't drive the car. You're nine. You can't reach the pedal yet. Like, there's just so many things out there that the kids are doing. And you have to find humor in it. You have to find also that their thinking, their thought process isn't yours, right? They don't have 46 years of life experience behind them to make some of their decisions. So some of their decisions where you're like, there's no way you were using your head on that one. They weren't because they don't have the experience in it. So I think levity for me, I find humor in almost everything. I can laugh in almost every situation, good and bad in life. And it is what has allowed all three of my children to still survive, really.
Tell me about your kids.
I have a 19-year-old daughter, Peyton, and she is a freshman in college. So that is a huge success that I got one through to 18 and she's out of the house. I have a 9-year-old.
She's alive.
Owen.
She made
she's
it to
alive.
Adulthood.
Supposedly, yeah, per my Live 360, she's alive and moving today, which is great.
Great.
My 9-year-old is Owen, and he is the child that invokes the largest span of emotion in me because I can love that child so fiercely, but also, if he makes it to 18, everybody's winning. If I haven't gone to jail by the time he's 18, everybody's winning. And then my 8-year-old Quentin is, he's a huge heart, has this big heart and such a loving child. So he's kind of our caboose. He came in and he is that necessary glue that holds us all together with his humor and ridiculousness.
It's a big age spread.
Yeah, so I was a single mom for 9 years. Mm-hmm. And then my husband and I got married and then we had our kids.
So you're talking to a perma-bachelor.
Yes. Good for you. Smart.
I have no children and I can only imagine, I look at it. I have obviously a lot of friends with children, but I still can only imagine what parenthood is like. Mm-hmm. What is your approach to motherhood?
It depends on the situation. There's not a roadmap. I think that's why motherhood is sometimes really challenging, right? Because what worked with one child doesn't work with another child. What works with my children doesn't work with somebody else's children. What worked on me isn't the same approach I can work on with my children. And so I think that's where people like want to pick up a book, right? They want to pick up a book and say, okay, tell me exactly what I need to do. How do I plan for this? How I can put a sprint together. We can sit down as a family. What went well? What didn't? Like, how do we do this better? And that is not, that's not the approach you can take. It has to be flexibility. It has to be a willingness mm-hmm. to say you're sorry. It has to be a willingness to say, like, I didn't do well today and I need to do better. It has to be sometimes where you're like, I'm not your friend and I've been told that I'm not your best friend anymore. Well, great that I'm winning. but it's so, and nobody prepares you for it well, right? Yeah. Like, it's like this, like, I didn't go to college for 4 years to become a parent. I had a great night of sex and I became a parent, you know, that's how it happened. And so, yeah. And then you're handed this child and you have to figure it out. And each kid is different. And that's what's fun and challenging.
Yeah. My mom used to always, like, she totally jived with that. She always said that she parented to the child. She had four totally different children and she had four totally different approaches to raising her kids. And that's like, that's not unlike how I manage my own teams now. Mm-hmm. I don't have sort of a rubric that sort of works across all the people. It changes. What are some of the similarities and differences between managing teams at work and managing your team of children at home?
I have my team of children. I have a team, by the way, because I'm playing zone defense. There's no man-to-man in this household anymore.
That's right.
I would say, from a similarity, similar to what you said, and I'm certain you are a strong leader because you're looking at each person differently. You know, what are the skills they're bringing to light? What are their opportunities that they have in front of them? Where do you see that they can get to? And how do you believe in them to get there? Those are common across my life, whether it's with my kids, with my teams, with my friends. It's like, I see that possibility. I see that greatness in people. And I know that if I can figure out how to best support them and care for them, they're going to reach potential. They're going to reach farther than I even imagined that they could. So I see that as similarities. I think within differences, one, I can't fire my kids. Marge or Carol them out the door. So that's a difference within a team, right? There's a difference with a team where you can be pretty like regimented with them and say, you know, this is what I expect of you. This is what you're getting hired for. This is what you need to do. I, believe it or not, say to my children almost the same things. This is why you got brought into the world, was to make my life easier, to do your chores. You don't do them every day. And I can't take you out of the world. So having those type of expectations on your team and having a productive team and then trying to bring that home and having kids be as productive as they can be, but what they might be interested in isn't anything that you'd have within your team dynamic. And so I think it is that piece of making sure that you are listening and understanding what it is and who they want to be on both sides, but also sometimes you have to manage somebody out of your organization where in your household, you have to figure out how to keep them in the organization. You have to figure out how to keep them within the team. And sometimes that means that you have to have some really hard conversations. And sometimes that means that you have to be quiet and you can't say the things you want to say. And so those are some of the challenges that I've been able to see within the two. But I see similarities across for sure.
A little slightly related story. My parents were joggers and they used to go for a morning run between like 7 and 7:15. They did this 2-mile loop. Pretty much every single day they went out on that run, my sisters and I would be like, we can run away now. We can get out of here. And we like had like a bag to pack. We had a lovely childhood and lovely parents, but we were this is our chance to like screw this place, get out of this joint. And then like, so we'd spend like about 6 minutes packing and they're like, but my birthday's coming up. I think I'm going to get that truck. Yeah. We never actually quit the jobs as children.
No, it's, yeah. And it's so different. Kids these days, I will say this to all my kids and in my friends' kids, I don't know what it's like to be you. You know, I wasn't a 19-year-old in this world in the way you are. And I don't know what it's like to have social media at the ready all the time. My parents never tracked me. How much that sucks. You know, it's hard. Like my kids, though, they've threatened to run away. They told me they don't love me. They told me they're going to leave. And I'm like, good luck.
Yeah.
And then they don't. This day. Threats, empty threats.
You're really passionate about creating space for self-discovery. Mm-hmm. What is your approach to helping kids find their voice?
Listening and asking a lot of questions and not judging and not saying, when I was your age, or I think what you should do is, or I'll ask, you know, are you open to feedback? Do you want to hear feedback? Is this a processing out loud? So my 19-year-old, probably, because I've been parenting her the longest, she will call me and she will ask me for advice. And I'm so different than she is. So the way I approach things is so different than she approaches them. She's a heart person, right? She's an Enneagram 2. So it's like a helper, a heart person, wants to take care of the world, but also gets very hurt because the world doesn't always take care of her. I'm not that same way. That's not how I'm necessarily wired. And so when I listen, it's like, gosh, that really feels like somebody hurt your feelings. Like, let's talk about how your feelings are getting hurt. Let's talk. And it's listening and then repeating back, or this is what I heard you say, and then creating that space for them to step into. And that's not, I mean, she and I have been having those conversations since she was 2, 3. I mean, that has been an open dialogue always for us. Mm-hmm. My sons are the same way. We have an open dialogue. And so when they have either big feelings or big thoughts or questions, like, I want to be the place that they can come to have those conversations and feel safe and navigate the journey to be their most authentic self. And that's sometimes really hard because what they want to share with you is hard things to hear, right? It could be something really personal that they're sharing. Yeah. It could be something a friend said to them that's really hard to hear. Like, the mama bear in me wants to like go attack someone. And you have, but if you can listen and be in the space and sit in the space, that's where the magic happens, because you have that unconditional love for them, and they know they have that as their foundation. I feel like they can then take the world on a little bit more than in their way, not in mine, in theirs, which is really hard because sometimes I just want to tell them what to do.
I bet it actually, as you say that, I don't see any difference in how you would coach people on your team to find their voices. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. And find their own approaches. It's the same line of questioning. Mm-hmm. I love that. So we play a little game here each episode called Hire Fire Boss, where we give you a fictional team.
Okay.
And you have to choose one of those to hire, one of those to fire, and one of those who's going to be your boss.
Okay.
And because this is our Mother's Day special, we're going to give you some TV moms.
Okay.
So first one is Carol Brady from the Brady Bunch. Second is Claire Huxtable from the show that shall not be named. And the third is Marge Simpson from The Simpsons. Oh. Who would you hire? Who would you fire? Be your boss.
Oh, those are good.
There's some really good moms out there.
There's really good ones. Well, right now in my life, I'd hire Carol Brady because she seemed to have all that stuff together, right? Like, she could like figure out how to organize and get my life, and she'd keep me calm.
She had Alice.
Well, great point. She would bring Alice with her, I would think, but not the kids. Like, she can't bring the kids with her, only okay. Carol and
okay.
Alice.
Okay.
Really,
okay.
I guess
okay.
I want Alice. Can I decide I want Alice instead? That's a great point. My boss would be Claire Huxtable. And because I think the reason for that is because I respect the way that she was able to be able to have it all, but do it in a way that allowed her kids to be who they were. She adopted a child into her household. Like, she did a lot of really great mm-hmm. things. And so that's somebody I think I could learn a lot from. And I don't really want to fire Marge, but I think Marge, we could find a different purpose for her. I think it's probably the hair. Like, I got to kind of go back into my hair salon business. Like, we got to do something about the blue hair. So she's just not yet ready to be on the team.
I think she's adorable.
She's great.
I agree with you on Claire Huxtable.
Yeah.
She's an attorney. She has a really great way of listening.
Mm-hmm.
Carol Brady, I don't think she can actually do anything. So
now you
she's
said that
my fire.
Alice. I just forgot. That's a great point.
She's my fire.
I would fire now. Kind of back. Yeah, might have to fire her.
Yeah, and she's like the deliverer of the shit sandwich. Like, I could not work for her. Where she's just like, I love you. That was awful, but I love you. Carol Brady could not give me good feedback. So that leaves me with Marge, who I actually think is really thoughtful. She has very tall hair, and we might need to adjust mm-hmm. some doors around the office, but she'd be my colleague. I'd hire her.
I like that for us. We'd have a good team. Regardless, we'd have a good team.
Switching gears here a little bit and just looking at the workplace, there's so much that needs to change to reduce friction, particularly for mothers, especially those raising young children. A few weeks ago, we hosted an amazing community organizer named Nancy Gutierrez on the show, and mm-hmm. she discussed that in order to create major change, you have to drive change on three different levels: the systems level, the community level, and the individual level. As you think about the future of the workplace, what are the changes we need to make to our communities?
From a systemic standpoint, we are still too tied, in my opinion, to you have to be someplace from 8 to 5. I believe we have to determine what the worth is of the work that's getting produced, and however long it takes that person to produce it, that's how long it takes that person to produce it. And I think we have to live in a space of trust with our employees. If we have the right people working for us and they're doing great work, I don't need to know how you did it. I don't need to know how you got there. And from a parenting standpoint, so from that motherhood standpoint, allowing somebody to be out for an hour to make a lunch with their child, or to be there for the concert, or to trust that they're going to do well, trust that they're going to do their best, and also trust that if they can be their authentic self across all of it, like they don't feel like I have to put on my calendar that I have an appointment, it's a private appointment because I'm going to my kid's thing. It's like, no, put the fact that you're going to Johnny's concert. That's awesome. I want to celebrate that with you. I want to talk to you about it, because I think if you allow people to be able to be all of them, that's, I think, one of the best things. So from a systemic standpoint, that's one of the challenges. I think like I said earlier, I was a single mom for a long time. The challenges that I faced were that it was a single person income trying to take care of myself and my child, and also trying to work up, into where I wanted to be in my career, in my younger side of my life. And what I was really grateful for, I had a phenomenal female leader who allowed me to like make my schedule work so that I could be the mom I wanted to be and I could be the worker that I wanted to be. And she allowed me space to be able to do that. But I don't see that as much as I'd like to see within kind of the world. And from a community standpoint, we need to figure out how to take care of each other more. We need to figure out how to be there for each other more. You know, if you're on that work trip or you need to stay later, you need to, whatever it is, we need to be able to figure out how to allow the village to raise our children, because we put so much on our shoulders to take care of things versus being able to say, I have this village of people. Like, I have all these people that can love my kid. I have all these people that my children can learn from. I have all these people that are, invested in me. And so therefore, when you have that level of community in your familial standpoint, and if you have that level of community within the work, within the work that you're doing, then that's kind of feel like when everything's humming, when you feel like you're a part of something greater than yourself, that's when I've kind of seen the magic come to life.
Yeah. I mean, you're sort of hinting at something here, but it's burnout. I mean, burnout is incredibly high. It's highest among women. The World Health Organization just came out with a report that said that nearly half, 46% of women are reporting high levels of burnout. Mm-hmm. How do we show up better as allies?
This is an area of great need. A lot of the burnout that I hear is women are feeling like they have to be all of the things. Mm-hmm. At work, they have to be this person. At home, they have to be this person. In this place, they have to be this person. And they feel like they have to be all these different people and wear all these different hats so that they can be the person that, the world needs them to be. And that's exhausting. Just thinking of that, even of like, every time I talk to a different person, I have to kind of put on a different hat. That's exhausting. I can tell you from personal experience, when you're in a conversation and you feel like the energy that you have to put forward because you have to present yourself in a certain way, you have to say things in a certain way, you have to do things in a certain way so that you are perceived as the not too strong, not too opinionated, not too, whatever, insert the adjective into it. And therefore, you feel like you can't show up as your authentic self. That is exhausting.
Yeah.
And so what I would say is, allies, make space, make time for people, make time for women, make time for moms. So one of the things I did, one of the things I actually have always done within my teams, you always have goals, right? Every quarter you have goals. You can call them rocks, you can call them goals, you can call them whatever the big hairy thing you got to get done. Within that, they're going to say, okay, here's the three things I'm working on. Always the number one in there is, what are you doing this quarter to take care of yourself? What are you doing this quarter? So that becomes part of your touch base. That becomes part of the conversations that you're having. And then you as a leader, you as an ally, you as a friend, you ensure that that's the number one priority, because I need you to be filled. I need your tank to be on like full, or I don't need you to be on empty. Because if at the end of this, you get done, you get all these things done, and then I send you home to take care of your family, and you don't have the energy for it, all I've done is done a disservice to the whole. Like, that's not good for anybody. So that's why I'd say from an ally standpoint, make sure people have goals that are personal, that are about self-care, taking care of them, and mm-hmm. and make sure, especially with moms, it's not like, well, my goal is that I want to be able to make it to these 7 concerts or these 5 events for my child. No, what is it that gives you energy? It's going on walks. It's gardening. It's whatever it is that gives them energy. That's where the goal has to be focused. It can't be on others, because by nature, women by nature, I think, are caretakers. And then as a society, we've been even ingrained more and more that we have to take care of everybody else before we take care of ourselves.
What's the role that rest plays in this, in addressing burnout?
It's rest of the body, rest of the soul, rest of the mind. It's imperative. And it doesn't necessarily, rest doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to go take a nap, or I'm going to go have a long, I'm going to go to sleep early tonight. It is, what is it that you're doing that's quieting your soul? What is it that you're doing that's quieting your mind? What is it that you're willing to let go of and say no to? Because that just takes up mental capacity, and allow yourself the rest that you need in your whole of your body. And I will tell you, the amount of women that I talk to on a regular basis who know how to slow down and rest is not high.
Yeah.
Mostly it's when I get to, then I will. And I'm like, when I get to my grave, then I will rest. Yes, you will. Good job. That's not worth it.
Yeah.
What I have found is that I have the ability to create safe space for people to be together, to come together in community, and show up as their authentic self. So what I'm doing is I'm moving to the North Shore of Lake Superior.
Wow.
And we are building a place called The Haven. And it is going to be a place where people can come together and they can be in community and they can rest their souls and be given care. And my audience is going to likely be women. It's likely going to be the helpers of the world. I think during the pandemic, especially, we really saw the need for the helpers out in the world. They're the ones taking care of us. It was the nurses, it was the doctors, the teachers, my background is with stylists, people that for a living take care of others, and they get taken advantage of because they will continue to give more and more. Mothers will continue to give more and more. It's going to be open next year. And my goal is to create it both for companies to be able to come together and bring their teams and create that vulnerable space where people can, again, be their authentic selves and show up as their whole selves and then be able to be everything that they need to be within their companies, as well as create that space for community. And so that people don't feel like they're trying to manage this world alone.
How fantastic.
I am. So I'm super excited.
So a couple of years ago, you came out with a great book called The Human Side of Motherhood. Tell us about the book.
So the book was written after my youngest was born, Quentin, because I was in a situation where they had like a mommies and me class, and I'd already had 2 other children. So I didn't feel like I necessarily needed to know how to be a mom, but I was really having problems because my littlest wasn't gaining weight. Mm-hmm. And they were telling these really hard stories about tears and cheer. It was called Tears and Cheers. So I was like, what's made you going to cry this week and what's made you happy? And the woman that was facilitating it wasn't a mom. Mm-hmm. And she ended up asking us a question after everybody had commented on like how hard like life was, and you're not sleeping, you're like life stuff was hard. And she asked us how we were meeting our children's literacy needs. And I said, I sat in that circle and I said, we're all just trying to get through this thing called motherhood. Like, this is hard. And so I think at that point in time, it was that realization of all these expectations are placed on moms by themselves, by society, by all the people. And it feels heavy and daunting, and you have to be perfect, and you have to do all the things all right all the time. And you don't have the roadmap. You don't know how to do it. And yet it's like the secret society that really nobody was talking about, like the hard part of it. And so I started writing and I started asking questions and I started talking to my friends and I put together a book. And it was really about the real side of motherhood. And even when I was talking to my producer about the title, she said, of course it's the human side. Like, it's a human, of course, that's motherhood. And I said, yeah. And we all think we're robots. Like we all think we can do all of this stuff without like being human in it. And so it has, I mean, some of the chapters are, you're going to pee your pants. That's going to happen. Milk is going to spray out of places that you never knew, because in my head, before I had a child, I mean, I don't know if you know this, you have a lot of holes in your nipples. Who knew that? I didn't know that. No. And so all of a sudden hot water hits you and it sprays everywhere. Well, nobody told me that. So all of a sudden it happens to me and I think something's wrong with me. Well, no, that's just how it works. You know, you're going to love your children and not like them. And so all of these things that had happened in my life and in my friend's life, I put it together in a book. And the purpose of it is to connect people and so that they don't feel like they're alone on this journey and that they are a part of an amazing village.
That's so lovely. This has been great. How can people keep up with you and where can they connect with you to learn more about your work?
So I just launched a website. It's laurakrafka.com. So LauraKrafka.com. And you can connect with me there. We can do a discovery session. We can talk about all the things, whether it be you need help from a business standpoint or really how to navigate this journey of motherhood. You can also find me on LinkedIn.
Fantastic. Happy Mother's Day, Laura. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Yeah, that's been great to get to know you better.
And that's the show. Thank you for listening, for subscribing, for sharing, and rating. Be part of the community on LinkedIn or on Instagram at unserious.fun. Our website is unserious.com, where you can find all of our previous episodes and show notes. This podcast is brought to you by Unserious Group. We are a communications and strategic consulting practice that helps companies and leaders navigate the rapidly changing workplace by lowering the stakes and working more efficiently, playfully, and creatively. At Unserious, we make work play. This is our chance to like screw this place, get out of this joint.